Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Well, with the new year can come a renewed zeal for prayer, involvement in our parishes, and all-around self-improvement. How can we bring our Catholic faith into our resolutions this year? With us to share some ideas is Father John Paul Erickson, pastor of Transfiguration Church in Oakdale. Father Erickson, welcome. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, Patrick. Always great to be with you. A very, very blessed Christmas to you.
Yes, and to you. It's a wonderful season of the year indeed. Well, Father, as we're looking down the pipe here at 2022, a new year, you know, there's been a lot of reflection about, in fact, there were some studies out that some people found 2021 the worst year of their lives. That's been making the media rounds these days. Maybe just to start out with just a little reflection from you on what do you think makes for a good year and a bad year in people's lives?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. I mean, certainly we begin with the lens of faith. So a bad year, objectively speaking, is any year in which we walk away from the Lord. And we can do that in a thousand different ways. We can do that through an active, commitment to some sort of habitual sin that we know separates us from God or from our neighbor. Or it can also be a year of walking away from the Lord because of negligence. You know, perhaps our duties and our state of life as a husband, as a father, as a wife, as a mother, as a pastor, as a priest, and we know that the Lord has called us to do particular things, and if we don't do those things, that's objectively a bad year. Having said that, as you well know, we are always people of hope, and all of the struggles that we've endured in these last several years, and there have been a lot. It's important for the Christian always to remember that the Lord can bring good out of even great darkness and evil. And sadness and loss. So we begin with that, and we also believe very strongly that the Lord is ultimately in control. And so discouragement never comes from God. It always comes from the devil or from pride. And even when things are awful, even because of our own doing, we can't allow that to overwhelm us. We have to continue to stay close to Him and to support one another in our walk with the Lord. So a good year is any year in which we're striving to grow in virtue, striving to grow in love, in which we've not only experienced the blessings of family life, but also the blessings of friendship with God, which right. happens, of course, preeminently with the sacraments of the church and an active prayer life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It underscores the point, I think, what you were just saying, Father, about how much we, regardless of our circumstance, I mean, St. Paul himself said that he rejoices in all circumstances, or he gives thanks in all circumstances, which is something that it kind of blows your mind, because I think we are so focused on circumstances in our lives these days. Yeah, we're having a good day if the circumstances of our life make it a good day. But that's not what I'm hearing you say, at least from the objective standpoint, right?
That's right. And, you know, I think one of the things that we struggle with nowadays is we have incredibly comfortable lives. I think of especially in the U.S. Not everybody, I admit, not everybody, but most of us, you know, the conveniences of technology, of easy transport, of entertainment that's readily accessible, our lives are pretty easy. And I think one of the consequences of that, Patrick, is we can confuse a good life with a pleasurable life, a life in which we experience, you know, personal satisfaction. We have a minimal amount of suffering or inconveniences, but really that's not the life of joy. The life of joy is a life that is rooted in faith. And that requires the vision of faith to see that the Lord will triumph. He is in control. Because circumstances of life can change. They can change dramatically. And if our sense of peace, if our sense of well-being is attached to the particular circumstances of our life, we're in for an emotional mess, because we have built our house not upon rock, but upon the sand of our emotions or upon our sentiments. So Paul, of course, as always, is spot on. We rejoice in the Lord regardless of the circumstance, whether in good health or in bad. Blessed be the name of the Lord now and forever. Good wins in the end, and we have to stand steadfast in that.
Yeah, well, so here we are. We're on the brink of a new year here. We're just starting out this new year. New Year's resolutions, you know, they can be somewhat controversial, Father, in the sense that some people are pessimistic about change, or maybe they simply feel that, you know, we should be making positive changes regardless of what time of year it is. What are your thoughts on New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, you know, I think they're good. I think they're good. I think there's a There's a naturalness to it, a new year, a new start. I think it's perfectly reasonable and a good thing. Now, we have to be realistic, I think, in our resolutions. You know, I think one of the problems with many of our resolutions, certainly in my own life this has been the case, is we assume that we can do a heck of a lot more than we really can. And so we have to stretch ourselves, but our resolutions also have to acknowledge our state of life. They have to acknowledge our own temperament, all these sorts of things. A concrete example, you know, if we've really been away from prayer for years, you know, it may be a bit much to resolve to, I'm gonna make a holy hour every single day beginning on January 1st. That's a beautiful thought, but, you know, your spiritual muscles probably aren't stretched that strong enough yet. And so you have to find a resolution that you really can do. I also think, too, it's pretty important, certainly in my own life, if you're going to make resolutions, I would encourage the listener to find someone who can hold you accountable, you know, whether it's your spouse, whether it's a dear friend, whatever it is, because unfortunately, I know in my own life, we can be pretty lenient on ourselves. And if we have someone else walking with us, if we have someone else challenging us, asking us lovingly, not in a nagging kind of way, but lovingly, that can be helpful because we can think to ourselves, well, gosh, if I go back on this resolution, I'm going to have to tell my buddy tomorrow, and that's not going to feel good. Even if we're not, you know, if we're not feeling the resolution real strong on a particular day, sometimes that accountability can really hold us, can keep us stronger. So those are some initial thoughts I have. I think they're great. I think resolutions are great. We just have to be realistic, stretch ourselves, and then find an accountability system to make us keep moving.
I like it. It's the body of Christ working together to build one another up. Yeah, wonderful. All right, so I heard you mention both, of course, the sacraments of the church and prayer being two fundamental staple ways that we can grow closer in our relationship with the Lord. So let's talk some specifics here, Father. So let's say it has been some while since a person has made a regular practice of attending Mass or going to confession, something like that. What would you say is a reasonable resolution for the new year?
Yeah. First, let's start with confession. That's a sacrament that, of course, is so important for our lives of faith. I would encourage people, and frankly, you know, if the practice of the listener has been maybe once a year, let alone, you know, several years since we've been to confession, I think once a month is a perfectly legitimate and lawful practice. Now, if one falls into serious sin, one should get the confession right away. But I think once a month, that's a good amount of time. It's reasonable. It's not an incredibly demanding amount of commitment. I would encourage a listener to begin with that once a month. I think also in terms of Mass, you know, now depending upon one's work schedule, maybe you resolve every 2 weeks, I'm going to get to a daily Mass. Now, some listener may think, you know, gosh, Father, that's kind of a low bar. But remember, people's lives can be very busy, and we have to set a reasonable goal. Now, coming to Sunday Mass, that can't just be a sort of a new resolution. That's got to be part of our regular life. But if let's assume one has kind of reached that baseline, maybe, you know, once every couple of weeks, you find a church that you can get to, that is convenient for you. It's going to be hard for you to miss it and to resolve to go to daily Mass. Very important, Patrick, too, I'd say, daily prayer. And here I would encourage a listener, especially if daily prayer has not been a part of your life, 10 minutes a day. Some priests would say more, some would say less. I have found that 10 minutes is a good start because if we're out of the practice of prayer, it's really hard to sit still and just sort of meditate even for 5 minutes. So 10 right. minutes can be a real stretch. And whether that's at church, whether that's at an adoration chapel, whether that's at your own house, that I think would be an excellent resolution. How to do it? You know, just use the old classics, the Our Father. Pray the Our Father nice and slow. Think about those words. Think about what they mean for you and for your life. Read a paragraph from Sacred Scripture, you know, once a day and reflect upon that and speak to Jesus in your own words after listening to it. Sometimes we're flooded with so many spiritual books and spiritual pieces of advice. it can be very overwhelming, and we forget the simple stuff like the Our Father, you know, like the prayer Jesus gave us, and to use that and the Hail Mary and reflection upon Scripture. So those three things would be my initial thought. Final resolution I'd encourage everybody, not only in terms of the life of prayer, but remember that our love of neighbor is essential to our life of faith. So I would encourage the listeners, as they think about resolutions, find something that you can do practically, concretely for the poor and for the less fortunate than yourself. And there's many different options, probably less than there were prior to COVID, I admit, but still many options, whether it's, you know, assisting at a local food shelf, whether it's volunteering at, you know, a local effort that works with the poor. This is pretty important, and Jesus is crystal clear about the radical importance of love of the poor and how it is a manifestation of our faith in Him. So don't forget, in, you know, when we think about all the spiritual stuff we're called to do, don't forget also the practical that we're called to do in terms of the poor, which is very, very important for our salvation, let alone for our experience of God's love and for our manifesting of that love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think just to add my own two cents on that too, I think I have noticed that in times of my life where I am giving specifically to those who are more in need, and maybe even specifically giving of my time rather than of my material resources in that way, it does start to take root in my life, and I start to view all others, not just those who are in need, but all others as you know, there's a solidarity that comes with it, I guess.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I think, too, that, you know, it helps us, frankly, I think, battle depression and anxiety, just on a purely natural level here. Now, it's not going to always happen, I admit. But one of the real sources, I think, of the widespread anxiety and spiritual and emotional suffering in the world right now is that, and especially here in the U.S., we are so focused on ourselves. You know, we are so incredibly committed to navel gazing and my own problems and my own challenges. And when we really are able to get outside of ourselves and to be with others and to serve them, yes, it requires effort. It requires a sacrifice of time. And it can be very tempting to say, I don't have time to do that. I don't got time to do that. But not only in terms of our own salvation, and the importance of serving the poor, I just would encourage a listener to remember it's frankly psychological benefits that when we're moving beyond ourselves and looking at another, it can draw us out of ourselves. And that can be downright salvific too, because we realize not only is my life not quite as bad as I thought, certainly when compared to others' sufferings, but there's just a joy of giving. There's a joy of giving and a joy of serving that can be refreshing, truly refreshing.
All right. Only a couple minutes remaining here, Father, but I did want to ask too. I kind of started this whole show out talking about knowing Jesus and making Him known. Any thoughts about resolutions we might take up in our life about helping to make Jesus known?
Wow, it's a great question. Yeah, you know, I think that one simple, though demanding practice can be asking people in your life, whether it's family members or colleagues at work, what can I pray for? And sometimes I'm supposed to be like a professional praying person, and I can forget to ask that simple question. But it's a beautiful question, especially when we really mean it. You know, when we really ask it from a place of love, and then actually pray for the person. How is that introducing people to Jesus? It's a sign of our own compassion, and hence the Lord's compassion. And we're bringing their needs to Jesus, and it's a kind of a soft evangelization effort. You know, we're not going to debate the true presence, but we can tell them, I'm going to pray for you. And even if the response is one of rejection, like I don't need prayer, I guarantee you that question asked with sincerity will affect them, and it may lead them themselves to reach out to Jesus directly.
Yeah, well, makes total sense to me, and I will take up that resolution. I want to factor that into my life a bit more there, Father. So thanks for that suggestion. Well, Father, it's been great to chat with you as always, but wondering if you could leave us and all of our listeners with a blessing for this new year and for the strength and the courage to carry out our resolutions.
I'd be delighted. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Lord, be with you and with your spirit. Good and gracious God, we ask you to extend your divine hand upon this new year and upon all the listeners of this wonderful program and here on Relevant Radio. We pray that they might be given strength and courage to carry their crosses and to rejoice with you, both in good times and also in the challenging times. And through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, the Mother of God, may Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Erickson, thanks for joining us yet again here on Practicing Catholic.
Thanks, brother. Take care.
All right. Well, Paul and I, we have some other opportunities for you to continue to grow your faith, and that's what we're going to hit up right after we take this short break. So don't go away. We'll be right back.